Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's be seated. You can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When I was praying during the night, right out of the blue, God told me his strategy of what he's going to do during the revival days, which is not what I was expecting because I wasn't even thinking of the revival days at the time. And so what the Lord wants to say to us today is to really prepare the way for that. I'm not going to tell you what he's going to do during the revival days. You can let that unfold day by day. But we need to prepare for what he's going to do. How are we going to prepare? Well, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, you know well. You are well aware of the nature of the grace of our Lord Jesus, the grace our Lord Jesus Christ has demonstrated. In heaven he was rich beyond measure, yet for your sakes he came to share the poverty of our humanity, so that now through that poverty you are able to share in his heavenly riches. Everything Jesus did was by grace. So everything he's going to do this week will be by grace. So what we need to do is not to have our eyes fixed on ourselves, on our experience, on what we want for ourselves or anything like that, but to keep our focus on Jesus and therefore on his grace. Now, as you know, grace is God giving to those who deserve nothing. So what God wants to do during these coming days is to give to us. And then when he's done that, he's going to give to us. And then after that, he's going to give more to us. And then when he's done that, he's going to give still more to us. So what he wants to build in us this morning is an expectation that he will give. Not an expectation that we will do something, that we will break through with God, or we will have a revival, or anything like that. But our expectation is that we are going to receive, by grace, all that God wants to give and to put into our lives. Now, in this verse that we've just read, Paul really speaks of the nature of God's grace. That he did something in order that we might receive something. And this is what grace is all about. It's recognizing what he did so we can receive. So he came to share the poverty of our humanity. He left the glory of heaven and accepted the limitations of mankind. Why did he do that? In order that we might receive his riches. So he came to identify completely with us, so that now we might be completely identified with him in his heavenly glory. Obviously, you're not awake yet. So that we could identify completely with him in his heavenly glory. So God's expectation is that we will know that glory, enjoy that glory, and see that glory reflected in our lives right now. But that's only going to come as a result of his grace, not by anything we try to do in order to reflect his glory. So let's turn now to Romans chapter 5. The purpose of Jesus becoming man was, of course, that we might have relationship with him, because we can only share in those heavenly riches through relationship. So he says in verse 1, we come then to this wonderful conclusion. We have been brought back into right relationship with God and made completely acceptable to him through our faith in Jesus Christ. Through him, we now have peace with God, and all the blessings of his grace are made available to us by means of our faith. So he became poor that we might become rich. Paul says that's the grace. And now he's saying to the Romans, all the blessings of that grace are made available to us. So all those heavenly riches that Jesus came to make available are indeed made available to us right now and are appropriated by faith. So God wants us to be going into these revival days with faith. With faith expectations in the grace of God. Now, faith is trust in God, not trust in ourselves, not trust in what we do, not trust in anyone or anything except Jesus. So we stand, Paul goes on to say, we stand daily in the flow of God's free gifts to us. I wish I'd read that aloud before I printed it, because when I was doing the audio version, that was a tongue twister. We stand daily in the flow of God's free gifts to us. And we can rejoice that a greater revelation of his glory awaits us. So we are going to taste of God's grace on Wednesday evening, then all day on Thursday, then all day on Friday, then all day on Saturday, and then on Sunday morning. We're going to taste more and more and more of his grace. And what will happen is that we will receive a greater revelation of God's glory. That the more we trust God, the more we can appropriate those riches of his grace, and the more of the riches of those grace we appropriate, the more the glory of God is revealed to us and in us and through us. So by next Tuesday, we will be a more glorious people. And some of us will be on the way to Israel at this time. So we will need to take what God does this week to Israel. Plant some fresh seed there. Then if you go on to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, through the sin of one man, death reigned for all through that man. Now consider the contrast. Those who receive this wonderful grace that God has supplied and the gift of righteousness he imparts to those who believe in him are able to share in his kingdom now here on earth. They can share in the reign of the one man, Jesus Christ, yes, even in this present life. So, as a result of what God is going to do this week, we will reign with Christ more fully than we are doing at this moment. And we will therefore see Christ reigning over circumstances. We will see situations resolved and met. We will see release where there hasn't been release. And we will see greater abundance than there's ever been before because of his grace. Amen. We're not waiting for anything, we're moving into something. This journey that we've been talking about is not accompanied by prayer, it's accomplished in prayer. It's a prayer journey. And so as day by day, we have this time set apart to spend with the Lord, so we will enter in all that he has prepared for us. If you go on to Ephesians, chapter 1. So, verse 3, I mean, this is very familiar, but give praise to him, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has blessed us through our life in Christ with every spiritual blessing that belongs to his heavenly kingdom. So, we have all the blessings of the kingdom. Why will the kingdom be more fully revealed in us? Why will we reign in Christ more fully than we do now? Because by his grace, more and more of those blessings, of those riches of the kingdom are going to be released into our lives through his grace. Are we getting this? Verse 4, this is because he chose us before he created the world to belong to Christ, to be made holy and blameless in his sight. Because of this amazing love, he decided that we should be adopted as his sons when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, this was his purpose and even his joy. Why should he do such a thing? Because this causes his people to praise him for his glorious grace. In other words, God has chosen the likes of you and me just to demonstrate how gracious he is. You know, people will take one look at you and say, how on earth can God do so much in your life? And you say, well, it's just his grace. You won't say, well, he was looking around for the best on offer. You'll say, no, it's by his grace that he has taken hold of my life and is doing what he is with it. Hallelujah, that he's imparting all these heavenly riches. So because this causes his people to praise him for his glorious grace, that which he gives freely to those who deserve nothing from him. All this grace he has given us in Jesus. Now, this is what we must get hold of today. We are not asking God to give us anything during these revival days. He's already given it all by his grace. We're moving in and appropriating what is already given, what he has already done. So it's not a question of, well, I won't be able to receive as much as others, or God won't meet with me in the way that he meets with others, or listening to any lies of the enemy like that. All the riches of God's grace are available to every one of us. Every spiritual blessing has been given to each of us because of our faith in Jesus Christ and all that he has done. So it's all waiting for you to take hold of. And session by session, however the Spirit of God moves us, we will be taking hold of more and more of him and the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. This is what the Christian life is all about. He has given us wisdom to receive his grace and to understand the wonderful ways in which he has blessed us. Yes. And Paul says, all this is the result of the immense riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. God has, not will, not we hope one day will, but he has lavished his grace upon us. And Paul, when he's talking about grace, uses this lavish language because he's so aware that he deserved nothing. He persecuted the church. He was killing Christians and imprisoning them. Yet by God's grace, he turned him around and made him the great apostle to the Gentiles. What a God. And we're very thankful that God does not hold our past against us. He does not hold our failures against us. He doesn't even hold our sin against us once we are forgiven through the precious blood of Jesus. So, you know, don't listen to the enemy who says, well, you're not going to receive God's grace because, boom, 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 boom. Because he's a liar. He's only jealous because he can't receive anything of God's grace. So don't let him rob you of receiving the grace that God wants to pour into your life. Amen? So in verse 9, Paul says, he has even made his will known to us. Although this remains a mystery to others, It has been his good pleasure to reveal his purposes to those who now live in Christ. And that's you. So it is his purpose to give and to give and to give and to give. As John says in the opening of his gospel, that those who knew Jesus received grace upon grace. That was like a bit of personal testimony. He slips in the middle of all this great revelation of who Christ is. From his fullness, we receive grace upon grace, grace upon grace. That to be with Jesus was just to be on the receiving end of giving. He was constantly giving, 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 giving. And that's what God wants us to understand and to experience. I mean, we can look forward to these days, not as, oh, goodness, there's going to be all these meetings. No, 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 no. We look forward. This is going to be a time when God is going to give and give and give and give and give. How is he going to give? Well, we shall see. He will give through his word. He will give by his spirit. He will give in prayer. He will give in a whole variety of ways. But we don't have to tell God how he's going to do it. That's entirely up to him. I always like it when we get to the point where God doesn't need sort of human ministry, but people are just receiving directly from him. That's how we like it, but God works through human ministry to bring people to that point. Hello? That's why if you think of revivals, you can think immediately of certain personalities that are connected with those revivals. Because, you see, what you find in the church today is people are looking for methods. Methods to plant churches, methods to establish, methods to grow the church and all the rest. But God doesn't look for methods, he looks for men. God is looking for men. He's looking for the people that trust in his grace. He's looking for the people he can use. Women as well. But I mean people. He looks for people. He doesn't look for methods. Methods come and methods go. But God has always needed a people through whom to work. And that's what we do during these coming days. We make ourselves as a people available to God so he can pour into our lives as much of his grace as he desires. Is anybody listening? I mean, he wants to overwhelm us with his grace. You see, I've learned there's two ways in which God breaks people. We were talking a little while ago about brokenness. And he breaks people by confronting them with their nothingness before God, really. Humbling them. He humbles people before him. But there's another way in which he breaks people, and that is by lavishing so much upon them that they feel they can't take any more. And, you know, you start crying out to God, what have I done to deserve this? Not what have I done to deserve this problem, but what have I done to deserve all this blessing? And the answer always is nothing. You haven't done a thing. That's the whole point. That's why God is lavishing his grace upon you. Because it's not a result of what you have done. It's a result entirely of what he is giving. So these are going to be days when God will give to us. Now turn to Galatians 2. We all know Paul's testimony very well in verse 20. I have been crucified together with Christ. The person I was no longer lives, but Christ now lives in me. The life I live in my body, I live by faith in God's Son, who has loved me by giving himself on my behalf. I do not set aside God's grace. You see, what Paul is saying is, well, this total work of grace God has already accomplished is taking me to the cross so that I no longer live, Now Christ lives in me. Now I can live by faith in him. And all this is the grace of God. So I'm not going to set the grace of God aside and start to do things in my own strength. Start to achieve and accomplish, or try to achieve and accomplish by the things I do. I'm just going to recognize that the only way in which God can really work through me is by grace. That even if I'm called upon to speak in his name, by grace he will give me what to say. If he calls me to do something, by grace he will work through me. If he wants me to heal somebody, by grace his healing will pour into that person's life. Whatever I do, the grace of God will attend it. The grace of God will accomplish it. Because what I'm doing is I'm depending upon the grace of God. I'm not depending upon what I do. I'm not saying, Lord, I know this will only work if I get it right. No, it will only work by your grace. Everything is by your grace, by your grace, by your grace. So by God's grace, we will meet with him in our worship during these coming days. By God's grace, we will hear from him through the word. By God's grace, we will meet with him in all kinds of ways. By his grace, he will do something new, significant, lasting in every one of our lives. It will all be by the grace of God. And this is not the futile understanding of grace that you find in some believers. This is understanding that God is doing all this for his benefit, for his glory, in his name, to enable us to fulfill his purposes. He knows that we can only fulfill his purposes by his grace. I just had a very good, powerful weekend in Switzerland. And, you know, I've got to the point where I would very happily not do any more traveling. I've been traveling almost constantly for 30 years. And let me tell you, it has no glamour to it. It has no appeal to it in and of itself. I do it out of obedience, but I do it joyfully, because when you obey the Lord, you have to do it joyfully. And I think, Lord, you know, let everyone come to me instead of me going to everyone or something. Which is, I can remember Clive, he wouldn't remember it, but Clive, when he was a little boy, said to me once, Dad, why doesn't everybody come to you instead of you having to go to everybody? And But I've got to the point where I'm saying that myself now. But you see, then I see the grace of God. I see the grace of God comes upon the meetings, comes upon me, comes upon the ministry, comes upon what he does. And you think, well, you can't give up traveling just because you would like to. You go where the Lord tells you to go. So off we go again next week to Israel. And then I think I've had 10 trips abroad this year. And that I could have done without some of those. But if this is what the Lord wants, you do it. Why? Because if his grace is attending it, things are going to happen. Lives are going to be changed. People are going to be blessed. The whole church, if you're in a situation like I was this weekend, is going to take a big step forward in the purposes of God. It's grace. It's God's grace. It's not what I do. It's grace. You take the grace of God, and the grace of God gets released into a situation. So praise God. Hallelujah. So we do not set aside the grace of God. Christ now lives in us. It's not I, but Christ, you see. And it's therefore trusting in the grace of God that he will work through you. No matter what you're doing, what you're called to do. You see, you can do things in your own strength. Or you can trust in the grace of God. See, those of you that go off to the detention center, if you've got to do anything, I guarantee you're trusting in the grace of God. Because you're outside your comfort zone. And you know you've got to trust him if whatever you're doing is going to work. But then we should be trusting him all the time, not just when we're outside our comfort zone. The danger is that you stay in your comfort zone because then you don't have to trust in his grace. And that's why God keeps challenging us, taking us beyond what we find comfortable. Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy about it. You can, dear Lord, hallelujah. So everything hinges around this grace. Like Paul, we've got to say, I'm not going to set aside the grace of God. I am dependent 100% upon his grace. Now, what Paul was saying, I didn't emphasize this at the moment when we were reading it just now, but what he was saying in Ephesians 1 is that all this is according to his pleasure and will. Now, that's something you need to get hold of this morning. You see, if God does anything by grace, it's because he wants to do it. If he gives anything by grace, it's because he chose to give it. Now, faith is trusting not in God's desire to give, but in what by his pleasure and will he has already given. He has already done. So we're appropriating that finished work of Christ. Now, the other week, I think it was Pastor Clive or somebody was talking about that cry from the cross when Jesus said, "It is finished." In the Greek, it's tetelestai est. It is finished, it is done, it is accomplished. It's difficult actually to get the full meaning of the Greek in just one English word. It's the tense of the verb really indicates it is all over. It is, there is nothing more to be added to what is done. And we think of the cross in that way. But the other day when I was praying, God was speaking to me about being seated with him in heavenly places. Well, what he said was this: I finished the work on the cross. I was raised from the dead. I ascended to heaven. And I'm now seated in glory. Now, taking you with me to the cross was a finished work. But by the same token, having you seated in heavenly places with me is a finished work. It is not in the future. Just as our death on the cross is not in the future, it doesn't depend upon anything we do. It's recognizing what he did then. So being seated in heavenly places is not in the future when we have finished our course on this earth. It is already accomplished. And the Lord was saying to me, you can say of your place, seated in heavenly places, you can say of that, it is finished. In just the same way as you can say that the whole work of salvation on the cross was finished when Jesus said those words. Now you're getting revelation of this. Because you see, what it means is you are seated in heavenly places. I mean, that's what the scripture says, not you will be, but you are. You have been seated with him in heavenly places. So that's how you need to see yourself. Therefore, as Paul then says to the Romans, you set your mind and your heart on things above because that is where you're seated, not on earthly things. Now, what we tend to do is focus on earthly things and glance every now and again at heavenly things. And you see, that's not what the scripture is saying. No, fix your mind and your heart on things above. I'm seated with Christ in glory, in victory, in his majesty. I am reigning with Christ. So the more I can receive the revelation of his grace in my life, the more real that is going to be in terms of experience. Because that is what the word says. And as I was explaining last week, that's the objective. But then the Holy Spirit makes the objective subjective. So the Holy Spirit takes that word, declares it to us, and says, you are seated in heavenly places. Therefore, all the blessings of heaven you have been blessed with, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what we're going to do this week is spend time in heaven. Understanding, experiencing even, not having experiences, but entering into the subjective experience of what it means to be seated in heavenly places with Christ. With every spiritual blessing at our fingertips. He literally wants to wow us. Not woo us, wow us. And we just get a greater and greater revelation of him. And we go, wow. Why? Because, you know, the greater the revelation of him, the more wonderful it is to realize that you're seated with him. You're not seated with the heavenly Jesus. You're seated with the reigning, victorious, glorified Christ. And I will agree with you, when you look at yourself, it's very difficult to believe that. But when you look at the word of God, you see it is the truth. Now, if we're seated with him in heavenly places, there is no blessing in heaven that is denied us. We don't have to beg God to give us something that he's already given. Says, why don't you jolly well believe that I've given it? Hallelujah. This is called crossing over. Because on the other side of this faith is the fulfillment of everything that God has promised us. Every Jericho will be taken and the land will become ours. Because we believe in the grace of God. Because we're not going to do it in our own strength. It's not by might or power, but by his Spirit. And he is the mighty warrior. He's going to go ahead of us. He's going to give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all a matter of trusting in him. Praise God. But it's not knowing that that's going to accomplish what God wants. It's doing it. It's actually trusting in his grace. And ultimately, this all boils down to a very, very, very simple statement. Everything that is his is mine by his grace. Not everything that is his will be mine or could be mine or should be mine or might be mine, but everything that is his is already mine. But I have appropriated so little, really. Therefore, by faith, I'm going to enter into that which he has already given me. I'm going to become what I already am. In Christ. And so I'm going to come out of these revival days at a completely different level spiritually. In what will seem like an entirely new relationship with Jesus. That is going to lead, therefore, to a closer walk with Him. That is going to lead to a greater heart obedience because of the love that I shall have for Him. And He will do all this by His grace. All I've got to do is let Him give what He wants to give. And therefore receive all that by His grace He desires to impart to me. Then I can put my feet up and the rest of you can go to the rest of the world and take it all to everyone else. Praise God. But you see, there's nothing more exciting than seeing what God does by His grace. I mean, I know what it is for God to work through you, but the greatest excitement is to be able to stand back and just watch what God is doing. And you're not even involved in it, or that's how it seems. Perhaps God has used you to kickstart something, but you just stand back and watch what God is doing. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing as a result of these revival days. That God will bring us to that place where we will all be amazed week on week, month on month, on what He is doing. But you see, it will all be by His grace. And as you can't earn grace, there's nothing you have to do. As you can never deserve grace, because if you deserved it, it would be reward and not grace. So, you don't have to deserve it. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to accomplish it. All you can do is by faith receive it. And you have the faith. Because God has given to everyone the measure of faith. And you have the spirit of faith. Therefore, with that same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. So, in a moment, we're going to stand and you're going to pray. But you're not going to pray words to God. You're going to speak over your own life. Now, listen carefully because a lot depends on this next few minutes. You're going to speak over your life what you're going to receive in the next few days. So how much dare you speak? You remember the woman that had to get the jars to fill them with oil? She ran out of jars, but the oil didn't run out. If she'd have had more jars, she'd have got more oil. Do you remember the guy that only hit the ground a few times instead of many times, limited what God would do. So you can limit God's grace, or you can say, wait a minute, if I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, there is no limit to what God can give and release into my life in these next few days. So you see, what God is going to do is break something in you in the next 10 minutes. He's going to break barriers of limitation. Not that he's put in your life, but you've put in your life. Because you've only dared to believe so much, and you've never really dared to believe in the fullness of his grace. I'm not talking, you see, about the theoretical, the objective. This is what the word says. I'm talking about what you expect to receive subjectively in your experience. So what you say is what you get. Now, God, being the God of grace, may give you far more than you say, but he will give you at least what you say. Because by the same spirit of faith you believe and therefore speak. So let's all stand. Now, first of all, just close your eyes and thank the Lord for his grace. Thank him that it is finished. You have been crucified with Christ. You have been raised with him. And you are seated with him in heavenly places. It is finished. That's just as much a done deal as your crucifixion with Christ on the cross. So thank the Lord that he sees you seated with him in heavenly places. He sees you as one who is reigning with him on the earth. And all this is the grace of God, that he came to share your poverty, that through that poverty you can now share in his heavenly riches, because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and God has therefore blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heaven. Come on, really thank the Lord. Now, this is where you're going to speak over your own life and you're going to tell the Lord what you believe. Therefore, Lord, I believe that during these coming days, I am going to receive. Off you go. You're on your own now. Tell the Lord. Now, hope relates to the future, and this is what you are going to receive in these coming days. And the scripture says our hope does not disappoint us. So thank the Lord, you're not going to be disappointed. That he is going to honor your faith. Hallelujah. Now, you need to keep speaking these things over your life during the next 2 or 3 days. Keep speaking them. Don't. It's not just, well, you know, I did it in the meeting because Pastor Colin said we had to do it. No, just keep speaking these things over your life. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Suturi sata pakara zata pakara zituri satuba. Paparazatapari eletu bakarazit risatuba. Poparazatuba karazitaba. Okay, now, just before we finish, say, thank you, Lord, you forgive me for trusting in myself. Thank you that you forgive me for every way in which I've limited you. By my small-mindedness. Now, thank you, Lord, you're enlarging my thinking. You're enlarging my believing. You're enlarging my expectations. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Now, it's important that you don't allow anything to undermine this. You see, disobedience, in whatever way, hinders your ability to appropriate God's grace. We love the word obedience, but we hate the word disobedience. Because you can't love obedience without hating disobedience. So just thank the Lord now that by his grace he's going to keep you walking in obedience to his word, to those in authority over you. In the situation in which God has placed you. That you're not going to allow the enemy to rob you of being able to receive by grace, because he gets your focus off Jesus and onto yourself and what you want. Come on, we've got to take that shield of faith against the deceiver. Amen. He is not going to prevent or hinder you from God's best purposes during these coming days. Now you need to give the Lord thanks for the victory that you have through the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, no sickness is going to rob you. Nobody is going to miss a meeting because of sickness of any kind whatsoever. We speak God's health over the whole body. Not just those of us here, but people in the church, that other things are not going to arise to hinder people from coming and receiving what God desires to impart, meeting by meeting. Oh, hallelujah. Puparazata pakarazatu pakarazituba. Buparazata pariazitu di satari. Oh, hallelujah. Sata pakarazitu di sandama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Oh God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. I thank you so much, Jesus. You are the God of infinite love and therefore of unending grace. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do anything to make you give to us. But we just have to enter in by faith into all that you have done, all that you have given, all that you have spoken, all that is according to your good pleasure and will. Praise your wonderful name. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah!
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.